It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. Today, continuing justice for Haley, y'all. So important that you go back and not only listen to the first episodes, but share. Continuing to get more and more attention, which is what we want. And by the time I get done telling the story, I think it'll be somewhat viral, and we're going to do our call to action. Okay. So up until this point, just a real quick summary, the very first episode, you heard the 911 call. And today we're going to be talking about the guy that made the call was Austin Meeks. And then you heard from the family. Second one, you heard from the young rookie cop. Then we heard from the family. He's at the scene. You know, it's a lot of pertinent information, especially about the first responders that got there before the cops did, being the fire department and the paramedics, okay? And what they did and where they found the shotgun and where Haley's body is lying. And the fact that they picked up the shotgun, ejected the shell out of it, and took it outside. They said they did it because he was still in the room. Well, a lot of other things that could have been done, probably human reaction, I don't know, but I mean, it absolutely shouldn't have been done. They shouldn't have touched any weapon on the scene. They could have asked him to step outside. If he didn't step outside, been a different story, right? But the shotgun was found under clothes, y'all. The young cop on that first episode, they told him that, and he twisted it too. Oh, shotgun's found under her body. He's excited, fucking it up, what he's telling other people. Then the last episode, in all the episodes, including the first one with the 911 call, you listen to Brooks Cleary on that 911 call, you know, trying to sound hysterical and saying, "Wake up, baby." And he had told Austin Meeks he thought she had a seizure or fell and hit her head or something like that, that he didn't know. But really sticks out for me at the one point that calls, and he was like, "Come on, baby, wake up, baby." One time he said, "Come on, bitch, wake up," right? Who says that? And the interaction with him on the stairwell, I played it for you numerous times. They had him sitting outside, and they came up to detain him, and he's joking. You know, he's laughing. Can I get my shoes? And you have any weapons on you? No, you might search. No, just not nonchalant, right? Not crying, not doing anything, not slurring his words, not fucked up. And when he says, "Can I get my shoes?" Fuck, it was cold, December 26th. I mean, if you watch the videos, which are up for Patreon and Convicts, you watch all the videos, all the stuff, obviously, that you can't see, but there's hours more content that's not on the podcast. But, you know, he's asked for his shoes, and they're like, "Okay, where are your shoes?" He's like, "Well, they're inside." And they're like, "Well, yeah, obviously they're inside." And it was, "They're inside to the left." And then when he's in the car, the first couple of times he doesn't do it, the interactions with him when he's in the car, when the Officer Thomas pulls up he asks him, "Hey, you got a driver's license photo? Or do you have a Georgia driver's license?" "Yeah." "Name, date of birth," gets it. "Do you have a Georgia's driver's license?" "Yeah." And he pulled up, and he can see the video screen. When he pulls up, he looked at it, and he's laughing. "Ha ha, my hair was messed up in that picture, wasn't it?" Something to that effect. What the fuck, bro? Your fiance, the love of your life, at this point, you hadn't asked a word about her yet. Yeah, is she okay? And he does And later on, when they come back to loosen up the cuffs, you hear him say, well, what about Haley? Is she okay? Before that, he was like, well, what are y'all doing up there? They're like, well, we're waiting on the detectives. And even when he asked for some water, they said, you know, cops, Thomas says, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm thirsty though. Can you give me some water? And I mean, motherfucker, your fiance is dead. The other thing he kept saying was, I called y'all. Guess what? He didn't call him. He went downstairs. And I'm going to talk about that in a second after I play you this first audio clip. Everybody, yeah, you hear the cops saying, and I'm sorry, Miss Barbara, you're going to hear this again. You're hearing the cops saying, oh my God, that's the most intact human brain I've ever seen. Her whole brain is out of her head, right? And the other one said the back of her head was gone. But the problem with that is, y'all, if you can see the video, it's obvious she was shot. She was laying on the couch with her head facing away from the door. The brain, for the lack of, I can't sugarcoat it, that her brain is on the floor behind the couch and it's all over the wall and everything else, but her body is as far away from the couch as you can get without hitting the fucking front door, facing the opposite direction, and the shotgun is underneath the clothes underneath her. Okay? Your whole brain doesn't come out and end up on the floor and everything's all that blowback's all over the wall and everything. And again, Patreon convicts, the photos are up for y'all in the videos, that you don't do that. And then with no brain inside your skull, you get up and you move yourself across the room and you lay down, face the door, and you're carrying a shotgun. Doesn't happen. All right. Doesn't happen. And then one point in the car, Brooks was like, well, I mean, I don't know what y'all are doing here. It wasn't anything but a little argument tonight. No, bitch, it was a lot more than that. And again, my professional opinion, I didn't hear him slur his words. I didn't hear him, you know, hi or anything like that. So what I want to do is play this first audio. These are going to be a lot better. You won't hear a lot of the cops' radios going off and all that stuff, which I'm used to, but I know it's harder for y'all to hear on the past episodes. These three audio clips I'm going to play for you are all taken in interrogation rooms at the police department, right? And the first one is going to be Austin Meeks, the young man who called in because Brooks Cleary came downstairs, was banging on the doors, asking for help. So what I'm going to play this again. If you haven't listened to it, I don't want to play the whole 911 call over again. Go back and listen to the very first part of the very first episode of Justice for Haley. So Austin Meeks is in the police station interrogation room. And if you are a Patreon convict, you get to see the video. They have him in there for, I think, 6 minutes and 30 seconds when he's sitting in there waiting on the detectives before the detectives come in and start to interview him. And that's where I'm going to start playing the audio for you, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
You're not coughing or have COVID, do you?
No.
All right. We introduced ourselves outside, but in case you got Detective Nudies, who's my sergeant, sir. Officer. When I asked you questions before, I just recorded this little thing outside, so obviously it's not ideal.
Right.
We're going to do it in here just so we have a clear, concise statement.
Yeah.
Just first off, can you tell me your name again?
Austin Meeks. Oh my gosh, sorry.
No, you're good.
M-E-E-K-S.
Are you a student?
Yes.
Are they students?
I have no idea. I'm private. I don't really interact with the other residents.
Okay.
Well, for obvious reasons. It's not the first time the police have been out there for domestic disturbances or whatever.
At their location?
Yeah, at Campus Edge.
I mean, for them specifically or just...
As far as I know, not them specifically. Just
okay.
Other people in the area.
I see. Okay.
It seems to be kind of a problem area. I don't know why.
Are most of the people at that complex students?
I know... I know at least four students who live there. But other than that, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. First name Austin, AUSTA. What's your date of birth?
April 29th, 2001.
And what is a good phone number for you?
770.
All right. How long have you been living at that apartment?
It's been a year and a half now, I think.
Okay, same apartment directly underneath. How often do you hear arguing or anything going on up there?
From them, you can bet on it once every 2 months. There'll be one big, huge fight, and everyone will hear it.
Okay.
And they've been there the whole time you've lived there?
Yes. I remember a few months ago, just hearing doors slamming, somebody yelling about cheating, and then I could hear tires squealing out of the parking lot. Like, I don't know how often they actually fight, but I know when they do fight, it seems like it's pretty bad.
Do you hear anything past verbal, any, like, things being thrown around, the walls, besides the door slamming?
I heard a loud bang. I don't know if that was her falling over, if that was a gunshot or a plate being thrown or something. All I remember is I heard a loud bang, and then like a few minutes later, he was knocking at my door telling me that she was having a stroke.
How long can you give me a guesstimate of the time frame between the bang and the knocking on your door?
I would say about 5 to 10 minutes.
Did you hear anything after the bang?
Just him coming and knocking on a bunch of doors.
What's your impression of what happened tonight?
At first, I genuinely thought she just had a stroke or was overdosing, because when I walked in there, it looked like a drug den. But
from what kind of drugs?
I have no idea. There's no telling.
Did you smell anything?
Just blood. That was the first thing that hit me. So when I walked through the door, first thing I noticed was how filthy the apartment was with stuff all over the floor. And then I noticed them, and I went over, still on the phone with 911, was trying to get her to help me roll her over.
Was she on the couch or on the floor?
On the floor, right in front of the counter space.
Okay.
And I got him to help me roll her over so that I could try and perform CPR, and I noticed there was blood all over her hands, and I noticed I had blood on my hands, and then the smell hit me, and I kind of stood up and like backed out, kind of zoomed out for a second, and noticed a huge splatter of blood on the wall, and realized that it might not be a good idea to stay in that apartment. So,
did you see any weapons?
I didn't until I saw the fire department pull out a shotgun and unload it. But that's the only weapon I saw, and that was after they got there.
What was he saying? When y'all were...
He was saying that she was having a stroke. He just kept repeating that. And when I got up there, he just kept saying breathe. And he also kept, he either said breathe, or he would alternate and say hold your breath. I don't know why he chose hold your breath, but he kept alternating between the two. And then a few minutes later, after I was starting to walk out the door because I was not comfortable in there, I heard him say that it felt like her head was caved in. And he just kind of looked at me.
Did you know she was diseased at that time when you started?
Without a doubt. Like, when he rolled her over, her eyes were open and glazed over, and it looked like there was blood coming out of her nose and her mouth. And that's, you know, when I noticed that was when I was going to perform CPR, and I was, at that point, I was like, well, with that all that happening, there's no way CPR is going to help her at this point.
So, were you home all day?
I got home at about 3 o'clock. I came back because I got a text out. Pipes, some pipes have been bursting around some of the apartments from the cold.
Uh-huh.
So I came home to make sure I had my faucets dripping and spent the whole day just holed up in my apartment.
You were awake the whole time? Hear any arguing before?
About 8 o'clock, I would say, probably, was when I heard, first time I heard people running up and down the stairs. And then after that, it was pretty quiet, and then it picked back up again about 10 o'clock.
About 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you hear anything they're saying to each other?
I didn't hear what they were saying, except at, like, right before, or right around, I would say probably 10, 15, 10, 20, I heard someone say something about cheating, and then that
okay.
was it.
Man's voice or girl's voice?
I couldn't tell. It was too muffled.
So when you say you rolled him over, when you came in there, he had her head on his lap, correct? Mm-hmm. Was she face down?
She was face down.
Okay. And the angle he had her at, you couldn't see any kind of injury to her face or anything? Mm-hmm. And then you rolled over for CPR, so you rolled her onto her back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You mentioned to me outside that he was kind of doing something with her head. Can you just re-explain that?
Yeah, when he... when I walked in there and I could tell he noticed I was there and talking to someone on the phone, it kind of just looked like he was trying to cover her head with his hands. Like, almost like he was trying to hide something.
Okay, like, you mean like he's like covering it from you or like angling her head in a certain way?
Covering it from me, honestly, is okay. What it looked like.
Hey, y'all, it's fall. My favorite time of year. You know, I love hunting, traveling to see my grandbaby, or go to Wisconsin and spending a precious time with friends and family. I'm so excited to ditch my shorts and flip-flops and upgrade to cozy sweaters and warm leather jackets from Quince. Quince offers affordable, high-quality essentials for any wardrobe. That includes seasonal must-haves like Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $60 and comfortable pants for any occasion. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings to you. That means Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, so you can update your look without breaking the bank. Shopping with Quince is fun and easy. You know, I don't like to shop. That's my wife Cindy's job. But when it comes to picking out my new fall wardrobe additions from Quince, I had to be part of decision-making, and it was so easy. I got the fisherman sweater in the alabaster, and I even chose the Mongolian cashmere joggers. They are soft and comfortable. The prices are great, and the quality is even better. I would put any of my new additions up against any luxury brand out there. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and the 365-day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 days returns. Go to quince.com/RLRC.
Hey, ladies, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living in our environment right now. It's in your food, your water, the air you breathe, the clothes you wear, your skincare products. They all mess with your hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes your body goes through, premenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you have to suffer through it. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore because now you have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone support and supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Well, my wife says it makes her feel like her own self again. And that's what women mention over and over in the reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code RLRC for 15% off today. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use code RLRC.
You mentioned that you heard arguing about cheating before too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like sounds like it might be a reoccurring argument they have.
Definitely.
Okay. How was he acting? Like, was he just explaining like emotions?
When he knocked on my door, he was frantic, just completely terrified, trying to get help for her. And when I went up there, he was still frantic, but he kept, like, the longer I was on the phone with 911, he seemed to kind of calm down and, like, it kind of seemed like he, I don't know how to describe it, he just calmed down and went from being crazy and just freaking out to just looking me in the eyes and going, her head feels like it's caved in. Just completely monotone, like, just, I don't know how to describe it beyond that.
Okay. And then while y'all waited, were you with him the whole time waiting on the ambulance and everybody?
I was up there for a good portion of the time until, like I said, I noticed the blood. And there was probably about 2 minutes where he was up there alone before the fire department got up there.
Anything else you think might help us out or that stuck out to you that was weird? Anything in particular?
Not really. Just other than the fact that I had told you earlier, it kind of seemed like he had almost, the way I described it to you earlier outside was it seemed like he had almost like on a TV show where someone snaps, does something drastic, and then kind of come back to reality, and that's the only other thing I could think of to tell y'all.
Okay.
So just, it really did seem like he just went crazy, and then all of a sudden just like almost like he shifted personalities, as weird as that would be to say. It just kind of seemed like somebody else was in control after I got up there.
Okay.
So you said it was 5 to 10 minutes, you think? It was a good period of time?
I think so.
Alright, we got his phone number and everything.
Yeah.
If we have any questions, thank you for coming in.
There, appreciate
any of the questions, we'll give you a call.
Yeah.
And you've really had no interactions with him in the last year and a half that you've been with him. That was the first time. Is that the first time you met him?
That's the first time I met him. I might have met her before, about a month ago. I was coming back to my apartment late at night, and she was trying to get up the stairs and was like, seemed like she had like a gimpy leg and just couldn't really walk too well. And I was trying to let her, to allow me to help her with what she had in her hands up there. And but I think that might have been her. I'm not sure.
Right. Who all I got you. All right. Thank you for coming in and giving us a statement.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. No, isn't how you want to spend your Christmas week.
I mean, better than me than anybody else. My whole family's in their college days. I don't know this shit.
So you seem pretty composed about it all.
Yeah.
You heard Austin Meeks tell the detectives that, yes, he had heard them arguing before, not just that day, but, you know, numerous times in the past and what have you, and they were pretty serious arguments. But that day, he heard them arguing around 8 o'clock, 8:30 or something like that, and he said it was a bad one. He heard something about cheating, and he couldn't be sure who was cheating, the male or the female. He just knew he heard that. And then if you remember in the second episode, when they were talking to the apartment manager, the leasing agent, she had actually heard their 8:30 argument, and it was bad enough for her to go over there and say, hey, if you don't quit, I'm calling the cops, right? And then after that, on the last episode, you heard the interview from Buck. And the reason I played that is because after the leasing agent goes over there and basically separates them or gets them to stop fighting, Haley kicked him out. That's what he told Buck. And he was like, hey, man, you good? He's like, yeah, she kicked me out. We were fighting. She kicked me out. You know, I'm good, whatever, right? But at some point, sugar turned to shit because around 10 o'clock, Austin Meeks hears him going at it. He didn't hear him going at it. That's the kicker. He hears the loud, bam. And he said, man, I don't know if it was a shotgun noise. He said, but it was loud. And I'm paraphrasing for him. He said, it was loud. And then he said, it was about 10 minutes later that Brooks comes downstairs and is frantic, banging on doors, help me, help me. My fiance fell, or she had a seizure, whatever all he was saying. Help me, help me. And Austin Meeks, being the good dude that he is, goes, not only he knows CPR, he's thinking, well, she just fell and hit her head. I can go up here and help. And then even he told the 911 dispatcher, it looks like a fucking murder scene in there, right? But let me ask you this. I know the answer to it, but there's a couple questions I want to ask you. One, why is it 10 to 15 minutes later after the loud bang that Meeks hears that Cleary finally comes downstairs and is banging on the other doors and asking for someone to call 911? Why is it that long? Well, I already told you her body was not where she was shot. Okay. No way in hell. If you could see the pictures or the videos, you would know that. I'm telling you, it couldn't be any further away. All right. So that's 10 to 15 minutes after she's shot. Crickets. And then he's downstairs banging and hollering and hooping and trying to get attention. Okay. That 15 minutes, you could change clothes. That 15 minutes, you could do anything, right? Move a shotgun, put it under some clothes, move her body. Is that your, oh, my sugar's turned to shit moment? And what the fuck am I going to do? Well, only Brooks Clear and God know that for sure, right? But it was way more than probable cause as to what he did. Now, and we'll get into it later on, I do not believe the clothes that he had on when they detained him, because they only had a small amount of blood on him. I don't believe that's the same clothes that he had on earlier. And I think they should have asked. They probably could still go back and do it, but we'll get to that in the call to action. They should have asked Buck, what was he wearing when he was sitting on the staircase? They should have asked the leasing agent, what was he wearing when you stopped them from having the argument earlier, right? Kind of Captain fucking obvious to me, but I'm playing armchair quarterback. But here's the real kicker. Riddle me this, Batman. Why in the fuck do you have to go downstairs to get your neighbors to make a phone call when both yours and Haley's cell phones are available? Why? Figure it out. And then we'll work on that a little bit more in a little while. Okay? You can see where I'm going with this. You can see how I'm setting it up. All right. Now, I want to play you another interview. And this one is about 9 minutes. And it's with Dana DeLay. And video. I'm going to play you the audio of the video. And this is the first responder. I think this Dana was actually the third first responder being a paramedic or fireman through the door. But he's the one when he's looking at Haley's body and Brooks is sitting there crisscrossed, legs crisscrossed besides her body. And he's the one that sees a shotgun barrel sticking out. Okay. And I'm going to play this audio for you now.
Just getting everybody's names so I don't mess anything up. What's yours?
Dane.
Facebook.
D-A-N-E.
Okay. And your last name?
Daily. D-A-L-E-Y.
Okay. And your birthday?
June 6th.
We'll see you there.
1995. Young. Little
baby. And what's your cell phone?
678.
Okay. Can you just tell us what you remember from maybe when you were headed to the call, what type of call it was,
that kind of thing? So it was dispatched as like a stroke patient, and then we got an engine, and as we were driving towards the call, we were getting updates from dispatch on the computer, and it was pretty much just, it got worse. It was just like, okay, she fell and hit her head, and her face is caved in, is what those up reading off of.
Okay.
When we got there, we had all gotten out, got all our medical equipment, headed up to the top floor. And then walking in, I was like the second to last one, I believe, or third to last. So it was Shane Sillman was the first one. He walked in first, and it was Tucker, or not Tucker, but Kniff, and then Seedorf, and then Lieutenant Bernard, and then myself, and then Tucker. But Silva had removed the guy who was sitting next to her. He had picked him up and, like, walked him to the back corner of the room, the living room, pretty much because of what we had seen when we first walked in. There was a lot of blood splatter on the wall. So it didn't look like, obviously it wasn't a stroke patient at that point. We had assumed it was something else. And so we just picked him up, removed him. And then Gniff had taken medical control, I guess you would want to say, of the situation.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much like, hey, get vitals, stuff like that. She was laying on her left side, I guess. And then Seedorf was the firefighter, so she was getting all the stuff. She stepped to the left of the woman that was laying on the floor. And then our lieutenant had realized what was going on when he had walked in, and so he had taken a step back outside, and then that's when I had walked in. And I was standing at her head, offset to the right a little bit while everyone was doing the thing. And I had looked down at my feet for a second, just kind of taking everything in. And that's when I had seen the shotgun. It was underneath.
So you were the first one to notice the shotgun?
Yeah. Yeah, it was underneath, by her back, underneath clothes. Okay. So I'd only seen, like, the barrel of it. And so I thought it was, like, a BB gun or something like that at first. So I just, like, took the clothes off, and then I saw that it was an actual shotgun.
So okay, so you took the clothes off.
I had removed some clothes because it was covered for the most part.
The shotgun?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the shotgun was covered with clothes,
yeah.
And I could only see the barrel. And so when I saw the barrel, I thought, you know, BB gun maybe. So I took some of the clothes off, and then I saw it was
going to be shot. Did you move them or just push them back?
Push them back. So it was like, just like that. So okay. I could see
right.
More of what it was. And so I saw it was a shotgun, so I picked it up and then handed it back to Tucker. And so he removed it from.
Did you put your gloves on or were your gloves up?
They were on.
So you had gloves on?
Yeah. So I handed it to him. He cleared it and put it outside on the balcony area right outside the door. And then after that, I just went to doing my normal duties, you know, assessing her and figuring out what was going on. And that's when we had noticed, like, more of, like, brain matter, skull pieces, and the blood splatter. Yes. It was not a stroke patient at that point. So, and after that, we pretty much called it. We put some pads on her, the AED pads, basically on the monitor. So we called it at that point. I mean, yeah. She didn't have a brain. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then, concussion.
What was, can you describe his demeanor?
Oh, yeah. He was very weird. He wasn't really crying. He just kept saying when we walked in, she fell. Like, that's all he was saying when we first walked in. So when we picked him up to work, when Silva picked him up to move him to the back corner, he was very like hands up, very weird, like attitude, I guess.
You're holding your hands up. This is up on audio recording. So you're, like I described it, hands up like a surrender position?
Yes, yeah. So, like, hey, like, don't hurt me kind of thing. Like, he's surrendering pretty much. It was weird. It was a very weird.
Yeah. And that's as he's walking to the corner when you guys told him.
Yeah, when we told him to, like, hey, you need to step back. Like,
yeah.
You need to go over here. And so, and when I found the shotgun is when we removed him from the apartment. So they were like, hey, there's a weapon. We need to get him out.
So you grabbed the shotgun and you did what with it?
Handed it back to Dawson Tucker because he was behind me still. And I was like, hey, there's a shotgun. And I handed it back to him. He's like, oh, okay. And he took it outside, cleared it, and set it to the side. And then once I did that is when our lieutenant was like, hey, he needs to get out. Like, he needs to be detained pretty much and put in a corner somewhere outside. So we did that.
Do you remember how you picked up the shotgun? Like, what part you grabbed?
So I grabbed... So it was barrels facing the door, the entryway door. And so I just grabbed right below where the barrel was, where, you know, you can cock it back. I grabbed right there, picked it up, and then handed it back.
Kind of in the middle?
Yeah, it's in the middle of the shotgun.
Okay.
Yeah, I just picked it up, barrel up, handed it to Dawson behind me. But yeah, his attitude was very, very surrenderish. He wasn't crying. He just kept saying she fell. It was almost like he was in a state of shock a little bit. But and then when he was outside, he didn't, like, there was no remorse, there was no crying. He actually laughed a little bit, which is a little weird to us, but yeah.
Remember the context of him laughing, like if someone said or done or
just remember it hearing? Was I think they said something about his shoes. It was cold outside and they're like, where do you have any shoes? And I think he laughed about that.
Okay.
I just remember hearing him laugh. Seeing him laugh.
Okay. And he said when you first walked in, the first thing you remember is that he's being escorted to the corner?
Or yes. Okay. Yeah. So he was, because he was next to her, like just sitting there crying a little bit.
You remember where he was at when he first walked in?
Yeah, he was on her back. So like by her like butt area, just like kind of leaning over her.
Okay. He's kind of leaning over her?
Yeah.
So you just say he was crying.
It was...
when you first walked in, or what, can you describe that a little bit better?
Like he was just like over her, just like, oh, she fell, like in a weird pouty way. It wasn't like he was crying, but he was pouting a little bit.
Okay.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, don't panic. We've got a secret source for incredible original gifts, and that's Uncommon Goods. They've got unique, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts to spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. And somehow they know exactly the perfect gifts for every single person you know. So skip the gifts that scream last minute and find something truly original at uncommongoods.com. I love the 12 days of gourmet nuts, y'all. Holy smoke, they're good. Each one of these packages contains 2 ounces of reusable container and has a different flavor of melody nuts in it to indulge in. Salted pistachios, honey sea salt almonds, cranberry nut blend, coconut curry peanuts, salted cashews, smoked almonds, butter cinnamon pecans, fireside trail mix, deluxe nut mix, sea salt walnuts, taproom nuts, salted corn nuts, and each flavor is shrink sealed for freshness in its own reusable tin. And the collection is beautifully packaged in a ready to go gift box. So when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out for this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. For holiday hosts and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids, for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selections you can find just anywhere. Looking for a gift? You don't have to worry. Getting lost in the mail? Uncommon experiences are more than virtual classes. There are unexpected opportunities to have fun and connect in new ways, from tarot card reading, lunar astrology charting, cooking and mixology classes, crafts, gardening, and so much more. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/RLRC. That's uncommongoods.com/RLRC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save big money at Menards.
Like, no, actually, I didn't see any physical tears coming out of them. It was just kind of, like, pouting.
And so he's sitting near her back, he said. Mm-hmm. And I guess when you would later see the shotgun, where would the shotgun have been in relation to him and her when he first walked in?
Even though he didn't see it. He had to have been sitting on it.
He was, like, sitting on top
of
it, essentially?
Yeah. Okay. So it was right next to her, like, on her backside. Because she was on her left side laying down, head towards the door.
Okay.
And so that shotgun was like...
It was right behind her.
Right behind her.
And how was the shotgun positioned? Do you remember like...
Yeah, so...
The barrel.
So the stock of it was like this. The choke is on this side.
Uh-huh.
So like pretty much the bottom half of the gun is facing towards her
okay.
back.
Okay.
And then the top was towards the wall. The best way I can explain
okay,
that.
Sure.
And like I said, the barrel is facing the door. So it was facing towards us when we walked in. And yeah, it was underneath clothes. I had to push the clothes back a little bit just to see and identify a little bit better. Because I just looked down and was like, oh, that's not supposed
yeah.
to be here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yes, sir.
I appreciate it.
Okay, so... What'd you hear? It isn't what Young Buck Cop said. And how does a shotgun get in that position? Remember, not all her organs, but her brain and all that is on the other side of the room. It's just the video evidence is irrefutable to where she was when she was shot, to where she was when they got there. And they even talk about, you know, his demeanor, et cetera. So listen to it. And it sets up this next audio that I'm going to play. This is Dawson Tucker. And I'll let him tell you what he did. And again, he's a paramedic or firefighter that was there before the cops were there. And so listen to it now.
I'm just going to get your name and everything. Make sure I have it right. What's your first name?
Dawson, D-A-W-S-O-N.
And your last name?
Tucker, T-U-C-K-E-R.
What's your birthday?
7/1/2001.
And your cell phone?
404.
Okay. Do you just want to tell us what you remember from... I guess the call type when you're getting in the truck.
Yep.
I guess what you remember.
So we heard possible stroke, and the truck was going to, I was on truck 52 that day. You know, we trade off calls, so we were going to pick one up for him. And came in as possible stroke, and then all of a sudden updated to possible head injury, to hey, there's blood everywhere. So we were kind of on edge going in. Not really knowing where we're getting into. But so we made it down, ran emergency, ran down to Hudson Road near the apartments. I remember engine going up first. I was toward the back, third story. So we were heading up. There was a couple neighbors out figuring out what's going on, four below. But walked up, I remember. Nard going in, But in Seymour, thinking that I was just standing at the threshold and kind of realized what was going on as the guy who was in there, he backed up and was kind of standing over her, from what I remember. Shane Silva told me to go to the corner, and Daly ended up finding the gun. Since he was in the room with the gun, he decided to take it. He handed it to me. I went outside, emptied it. I was wearing gloves. Emptied it. I set it off to the side, and the single shell that was in there off to the side.
Was a shell? What would describe a shell? What it looked like?
12 gauge, been used.
It had been expended?
Yes, sir.
Been fired?
Yes, sir.
How many times did you wrap the shotgun?
Twice, once to clear it, and then one to make sure, and then I checked the tube.
Was there another round in there?
Yes, sir.
Just only one shell in there?
Yes, sir. After putting the shotgun off to the side, walked back to the threshold. At that point, I think they were putting pads on her at one point. I think it was just before the guard realized it was obvious cease. So I remember Shane sort of grabbed the guy, told me to come with him. We took him to the landing right below. And we sat there with them.
There's a second floor. You're on the third floor, right?
Right. So what's the half?
You're on the second floor?
Between.
Yeah.
So landing right between. We had to sit down there. To me, he was acting very strange. I don't know exactly what manner. He was asking, hey, I'm okay out here. You probably need to go check on her. Just make sure everything's okay with her. I remember putting on shoes, made a joke about his shoes didn't fit or something like that. But other than that, he really didn't talk to us much. I remember him pulling out a vape.
Did he smoke the vape?
But wasn't much communication with us. Just kind of had himself deciding. Used to close by just in case something happened.
Okay.
So PD got there fairly quick. Told them everything we had there, and they took him. And then we went up to grab all of our stuff and went from there.
So when you first stood in the doorway, the first thing you remember is that the male was standing next to the girl on the ground. Is that right? Or
from what I remember, he was standing on the back side. So, and I had only seen her at this point. And then I looked up and saw
about all. Paint a picture as far as how long do you think? Did you go very far into the room?
Not super far, no, sir.
Okay, so with the time you got up to the threshold of the front door, and then was it minutes, seconds?
I'm sure it was just seconds. They went over, the engine went over, and says, sir, not looking up.
So what truck were you on?
Truck 52.
Okay. And there was a ladder truck, and with those two vehicles?
Yeah, so engine 52 and truck 52 responded.
Okay, trucks, the ladder truck?
Yes, sir.
Truck 52. Okay.
So six personnel. All
right, so how many people were in the room together?
I believe, let's say four. Because I believe me and Shane Silva were out, the rest of them were.
Okay, so.
Either at the threshold.
So, the total officer or fire that responded to the scene was six.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
six.
Okay. So, you just remember he was standing when he first got there and then was shortly. After that, was told to go in the corner and went in the corner.
Right, until we figured out what was going on.
Right.
So they had your way in the corner over there.
And then the next thing you kind of recalled was being handed the gun, right?
Yeah, I was handed the gun, wrapped it, put it off to the side along with the shell. Shane ended up grabbing it from the corner and we went outside. It was me and Shane.
Yeah.
From the guy. So.
Okay. Do you remember if the guy said anything like the whole time? You said a little bit about shoes and stuff. Anything before that you remember? Or?
I don't remember much. Just something about, hey, she hit her head or something, and you should probably go check on her.
Okay, he was saying that kind of stuff.
And all I said was, hey, then got that, we're going to go out here.
Okay. Do you remember his behavior or mood or anything like that, or mannerisms that he had?
For what was going on, it didn't seem like it should match. Like,
sure.
His demeanor wasn't...
How would you describe it, though?
It didn't seem like he was overly concerned for what was going on.
Okay.
Whether that was
so, like, seemed relaxed, maybe.
A little bit relaxed. He was very compliant with us. I didn't know if there was alcohol involved or something like that. He did seem like slightly slurred.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, sure.
If that's normal for him or not.
Yeah, okay. He was kind of slurring his speech.
Slightly, not much, yeah. Just slightly. But he didn't talk to us a whole lot. But as far as mannerisms go.
And is he the one that made a joke about his shoes not fitting? Or,
yeah, he told us to grab his shoes, we grabbed his shoes, and he made some joke about them not fitting.
Okay.
And he was smoking his vape.
Yeah, we had him sit down on the landing, and he was reaching for his pockets, so that's why I was pretty overly cautious and myself, put a vape in his vape.
And he started smoking.
Okay.
Was there any particular smell to the vape?
No, I assumed it was just one of those little nicotine.
But he didn't smell anything that was distinct?
No, I'm not sure.
Alright.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, y'all. So Tucker gets the shotgun and he racks out the shell, takes the shotgun outside. That is a huge fucking problem for a detective, all right? You want your shit undisturbed. You don't want a defense attorney to have any way, whether wearing gloves or not, it doesn't fucking make a difference. The weapon was moved, and I'm not throwing shade on a dude. Can't say what I would do if you're looking at a dead body and you know the gun's been fired in the room, but he did it. And they cleared it and they put it outside. And on the third part, you hear, I think, Officer Thomas telling the other person before they turned the mics off that the detective, Foster, I think his name was Foster, said, Foster's mad. Why is he mad? He said, because they moved the shotgun, right? And y'all, all of these again were at the police department. Now, I'm going to skip backwards on the next episode because I had Brooks Cleary, where he's to the interrogation room and he's going to be talking to the detectives. The officer brought him up, uncuffs him, and now he's sitting in the interrogation room. And it's really, 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 really going to get dramatic next week when I start playing the interviews, and they're crystal clear of Brooks with the detectives. And what he says and what happens. Okay. So Haley's birthday was November 23rd. Happy heavenly birthday, sweetie. And hopefully next one we'll have him convicted for your murder. All right. And y'all, it's so many twists and turns to the story. We have so much more audio. You're not going to believe. You're just not going to believe why he's not serving life for murder. All right, but we're going to get into all that. And thank you for liking and listening and sharing. I think
Leah Marie has got everybody started. Miss Barbara said that Haley's favorite thing were like sunsets and sunrises. And so people are sharing, taking pictures and sharing that with hashtag justice for Haley. We used to do it every Friday for Courtney. Courtney Coco, people would wear pink and stuff like that. So instead of her favorite color, we're doing Haley's favorite scene or image. And she took numerous herself that Miss Barbara sent to us. And again, our hearts go out to the family. But lifers rule. Y'all share, share, share. And we're going to do the call to action when we get done. And let's get it done. All right. Haley deserves justice. Hashtag justice for Haley. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save big.